Former Vice President Mike Pence kicked off his presidential campaign today, his 64th birthday, with a video about why he's running for the Republican nomination that seemed to refer to, but not name, his former boss, Donald Trump.
We can turn this country around, but different times call for different leadership. Today, our party and our country need a leader that'll appeal, as Lincoln said, to the better angels of our nature.
Meanwhile, last night in New Hampshire, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie also entered the GOP race, taking direct aim at Trump and his campaign.
It is the last throes of a bitter, angry man who wants power back for himself, not for you.
North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum also announced today, saying yelling and infighting will not solve the country's problems.
It is a crowded Republican field, but did you know Democrats have more than one candidate? Lots to talk about, and we have two political strategists to do that. Democrat Elaine Kmark is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Hi, Elaine.
Hello.
And Alice Stewart is a Republican strategist and presidential campaign veteran. Alice, welcome back.
Hi, Scott. Great to join you and Robin.
Alice, Mike Pence, we remember he stayed loyal to the president, Donald Trump, until January 6th. What does Pence need to do now to step out of the Trump shadow and gain some traction among GOP voters?
He's going to have to remind voters that while 4 years during the Trump administration, there was zero daylight between Pence and Trump, now he has to spread some distance between the two and show the distance. And that's going to be difficult because his nature is to be a little more soft more nuanced in his approach. And clearly his campaign, based on the nominating video that they put out and not directly naming Donald Trump, they are going to dance around the Trump issue and name because they want to keep his base on board without alienating the base and try to grow from that. But clearly his message will resonate with hardcore social evangelical conservatives, the more faith-based groups. And he has that built-in relationship that is genuine with evangelicals and not transactional like Donald Trump. So that will be his biggest bet, is to reach out to the faith-based group, specifically in a state like Iowa.
Oh, I want to pick up there with Elaine, again, the Democrat. Some analysts are asking, you know, what does Pence have that, let's say, Ron DeSantis doesn't? And one answer could be his deep religious faith, his evangelical faith. He's one of the most conservative, this is Pence, and outspoken candidates on abortion. He's called for a national ban. Chris Christie, for instance, wants it left to the states. Now, polls show Americans disagreed with the Supreme Court decision overturning Roe v. Wade. So, Elaine, again, the Democrat, how do you see abortion ricocheting in 2024 for these Republican candidates?
I think abortion is a huge issue, and it's a general election issue more so than a primary issue. And yet, one of the things we know about primary voters, particularly when they know we're in a close situation, is that they take into account electability as well as the issues, the positions on issues. I mean, if it hadn't been for electability, I don't think Joe Biden would have emerged out of nowhere, really, because he was really a hurting puppy,
like fourth in Iowa,
those early contests. If it wasn't for the electability issue, I don't think we would have had Biden. And so I think that abortion, while generally the anti-abortion stance is popular among Republican primary voters, I think a share of those voters will say, geez, maybe this hardcore approach is not going to help us in the general election.
Now, in the primaries, not all the Republicans plan to directly take on Donald Trump, as we've been talking about. Chris Christie does. Now, he used to be a Trump advisor. Now he's going after Trump's policies, his leadership, his style. Alice, what do you think Chris Christie's realistic goal here is?
His realistic goal is to do tremendous damage to Donald Trump, and he is going all in. And, you know, Kamikaze Christie is just getting started. He is going to take no prisoners, without a doubt. And we saw that in his speech last night. I mean, really taking direct aim at Donald Trump and calling him a loser And one of the takeaway lines that will be heard over and over is him referring to the former president as a lonely, self-consumed, self-serving mirror hog.
But how do you really feel?
And he's not a leader. Yeah. And that's going to be where he goes. And look, he has acknowledged in the past he's not going to be a paid assassin, but he is giving himself carte blanche to go in there and just obliterate Donald Trump.
But Alice, I want to be sure I'm hearing you clearly. Are you saying, Chris, as some people are, that Chris Christie isn't in it to win it? He's in it to clear a path for someone else.
He says he is in it to win it, and he says he wants to be the nominee and certainly into the White House. But at the same time, another goal and another objective is to get Donald Trump out of the fray and open up a space for another candidate, whether it be himself or someone else. But, you know, the thing that remains to be seen is, can anyone out-Trump Trump? And Governor Christie is giving it a try. He certainly can do so on the debate stage, but the question is, will Donald Trump even step on the debate stage? A lot remains to be seen.
I want to make sure we've heard from someone who isn't stepping on the stage. This is New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu. He said this week he's not running on CNN. He warned that if Trump is the nominee, Republicans will lose again, maybe, you know, win the primaries, but lose again. And GOP candidates, he warned, should bear this in mind.
Look, I don't mind who gets into the field, but given where the polls are right now, every candidate needs to understand the responsibility of getting out and getting out quickly if it's not working.
Well, so I'll go to Elaine just because this is the Republican. You write, Trump wins if he racks up early wins and the field stays large until Super Tuesday next March. I mean, weigh in. Everybody else is. Does he win the primary and lose the general?
I think he does win the may win the primary and lose the general. But I think what's lost in the conventional wisdom, which I admit I helped to create, is a large field helps Trump if it remains a large field. But that's not necessarily going to be the case. You have four early contests, and a lot always rides on those four early contests, this time even more so. If Trump is weak in any one of those four contests, if he loses New Hampshire, if he comes in, or even if he wins it but only by a percentage point, there's going to be an opening for someone else. And if everyone else will then do what they did not do in 2016 and get out of the race, then I think Trump can be beat for the Republican nomination just because of the way the delegate rules will work in a one-on-one contest starting on Super Tuesday. So it's not just that a big field helps him, but a big field that remains a big field does help him. Yeah. I think there's some Republicans looking very carefully at how Joe Biden won the Democratic nomination in 2020, which is he managed to do just well enough in one of those early states, South Carolina, and then the rest of the field folded.
Yeah.
And then he had a one-on-one run against Bernie Sanders, and he beat him in 10 out of 14 primaries, and that was the end of the story.
Republicans, including, of course, Ron DeSantis, who has gone to these early primary states, New Hampshire and Iowa, raised a lot of money, and he's presenting himself to voters as the anti-woke culture wars candidate. Briefly, Alice, how might Ron DeSantis be one of these persons who survives long enough to take on Trump?
Well, certainly having money will help, and he has tremendous amounts of that. But his best bet is to remind voters what he has said time and time again, is that it is time to get away from the culture of losing, which surrounds Donald Trump, and get back to a culture of winning and focus on his success as a governor of Florida with regard to the economy, with regard to how he handled crime, and show that he has been a proven leader and Donald Trump has not. So I think he would be better served to stay away from the woke issues and focus more on the winning issues.
We'll see if that happens. But we have to ask, with a couple minutes left here, and ask of Elaine, the Democrat, Joe Biden has a couple of opponents. The intellectual Cornel West said this week he'll mount a People's Party campaign. The vaccine skeptic Robert Kennedy Jr. is polling at 20% in a recent CNN poll. Are you worried?
No, I think that's purely name identification. Democrats hear the name Kennedy and they say, oh, yeah, we like them. I don't think it matters. I think that Robert Kennedy Jr. is vastly out of step with the mainstream of the Democratic Party. His vaccine stuff, it reeks of conspiracy theories. And I think as things engage, he will not be a serious challenger to Biden.
With a minute to go, how can Biden, and I don't want this poor phrase, misstep as he goes into this?
Look, I mean, everybody can misstep. Biden has had plenty of missteps in his entire career, right? He said things he didn't mean to say, et cetera. Mm-hmm. He fell off his bike. He fell over of something on the stage. You know, the fact is that he's the president and he has a pretty good record. This is a very hot economy. He has handled international relations stunningly well. And I think Biden's record is going to be much more important than a misstep here.
Okay. Well, I have to apologize to Alice Stewart because we've run out of time, but I'm sure you'll be weighing in quite a bit before this is over. That was Elaine K. Mark, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, the Democrat. Alice Stewart, the Republican presidential campaign veteran. Alice, I promise we'll have you back. Your opinion of Biden going into this. But thank you both so much.
Look forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.